I always wanted to be a wise guy. One of the three kings. When I was growing up during my elementary years at Walnut Hill United Methodist Church, I was always involved in the Christmas pageants. And every year I was picked not to be a king, not to be a wise guy, not to get to wear one of those Burger King hats that's been spray painted gold. No, I didn't get to wear my dad's best robe. I had to wear the worst robe because I was a shepherd. Never an angel, never a wise guy, never Joseph, always a shepherd. Oh, at least I wasn't one of the animals in the barn. I didn't have to be a cow or a pig or a chicken. I had to be a shepherd. And I complained about it after several years. I can remember going up to Miss Hill and I can remember saying, I want to be something other than a shepherd. I want to be a wise guy. I want to be one of the three kings. I want to be one of the magi, the three wise men. And Miss Hill got down in front of me and she said, but Greg, the shepherds have one of the best jobs. They get to hear the angel proclaimed and come and greet Jesus as a baby. And they get to shepherd God's children just as Jesus was a shepherd. I'm going to say that just went right over this, you know, 8-year-old's head. I didn't want to have anything to do with that. I wanted to be a king. I want to be one of the wise guys. And there's a sense and there's a way in which we all want to be and should want to be one of the wise guys. After all, we are called to proclaim the most wonderful message that the world has ever heard. The good news that God is not distant, God is not far away, God is not removed from our understanding and from our presence and from our needs and from our pains and from our hurts and fears. No, God is not distant from us. God is right here with us, tangibly in our presence, in a little baby. Jesus of Nazareth, born in Bethlehem of Judea. We've been given this wonderful good news. And those who are wise proclaim it. Those who are wise give it as a gift to the world. This good news of the birth of God in Jesus the Christ. The wise guys get to make that message, that proclamation, that wonderful story known to all. The shepherds, they're out in the field. They're out doing their job. And God calls them to come and witness this baby. Now, you know, the scholar in me picks up this bit and says, well, wait a minute now. These are two different stories. It's the story from Luke and the story from Matthew. And those are two completely different stories. The story in Luke talks about the shepherds and the angels. And the shepherds going and seeing the baby Jesus wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger. Luke tells us this story, the story we all know. But there are no wise guys in that story. There is no drummer boy either. It's just the story of the shepherds coming to see and the angels in the heavenly host praising God and saying glory to God in the highest. No, we tend to mix our stories. The story from Luke gets mixed with the story from Matthew. And the story from Matthew places the coming of the Magi, the coming of the astrologers from Persia, the coming of the wise guys at a completely different place. Not in the stable out behind the Motel 6, no. In a home, in a house. In our reading today, it says, on entering the house, the home, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. The word here for child and the word used in Luke's gospel for baby wrapped in swaddling clothes is the cue to what's going on here. In Luke's gospel, the word is brephos, which means baby, infant. It's used of children before they're born up to about 1 year. brephos. But in Matthew's gospel, the wise guys come and see in the house the child, which in Matthew is paedion. Paedion. A child from 1 to age 2. A toddler, you might say. No longer a baby, no longer a brephos, but a child. In other words, this is weeks later, months later. This isn't the night he was born when the wise guys come. We put the story together in all of our pageant imagery. We have everybody coming forward to make the proclamation. We got Mary and we got Joseph, like over here on our creche scene. We've got Joseph and we got Mary and we got the baby Jesus in the trough. And it's always such an idyllic scene. And you have the shepherds coming up and you have the angels singing in the air. And you have the little drummer boy coming along. And that doesn't even come from anywhere in Scripture. And he comes along. And then you have the wise guys come up from Matthew's gospel to give their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We mix these stories together. It's part of what we do. It's part of our culture. It's part of our iconography going back almost 2,000 years that we mix these two stories together. Because what's important is not each individual story, but the common story that they proclaim. We are to be like the shepherds, coming from our daily work to witness and then proclaim to others this wonderful message of the birth of this child. But we're also called to pay attention to God's message to us in Scripture and God's message to us in the world, to look and to see and to know through our studies that Christ has come in our midst, and then to go and to see and to proclaim Him and to protect Him as they did by going out of the city another way and not going to see Herod again. We are called to go and to see and to proclaim to all the most powerful message of wisdom that we could ever have. That God is with us. That God is with us every day. In our daily living. In the good times. In the bad times. In the exciting times. In the dull times. In the joyous times. In the painful times. I was looking back upon this year and I was noticing this horrible terrorist attack or attempt that happened on Christmas Day. When that guy tried to blow up the bomb on the airplane landing in Detroit and ended up burning himself. And I was listening to some of my friends chat about it a couple days later when I went out to eat with them. And they were all complaining, oh no, now what are they going to do to us in security? What are we going to have to go through in security to get through all those security measures to get on the airplane? What are they going to do to us now? And I said, they're going to strip us naked and have us lay down on that conveyor belt and send us through the x-ray machine. That's what they're going to do. And it's almost that bad. On flights into the United States now from Canada and Europe, they frisk you. They frisk you down so closely that if it happened anyplace else, it would be sexual harassment, my friends. That's how close they're checking people. To see if they're carrying weaponry, bombs. We get all caught up in our terror and our fear. We get caught up in the concerns and the worries of life. We look at our checkbooks and we say, I can't make it to the end of the month on that. We look at our waistlines and say, how do I get rid of this extra amount? We look at our families and we say, how can I get my brother to stop arguing with my mother or with me? Or we look at our family situations and we say, what do we do about a dying grandparent? Or we look at the world and we feel overwhelmed. How can we stop the backbiting and the fighting between political parties and houses of Congress and branches of government? My friends, they've been fighting in government forever. And forever they will fight. How do we deal with these difficult times and these disasters that we seem to face day by day? And it always seems to get worse. The good news, the message of the wise guys is we deal with it with Christ Jesus at our side, in our midst, on our lips, in our hands, in our ears and eyes, in everything that we do and say, in every expression to others. We are called to proclaim the good news of the immediate presence of God. That's the whole meaning of the Christmas story. I mean, Christmas doesn't end until Epiphany Day, which is Wednesday. Christmas doesn't end until Epiphany Day. We're in those days of Christmas. But even then, it doesn't end. Because we are called to make every day a day of Christmas proclamation, proclaiming the presence of Christ in a broken and hurting world. The presence of Christ amidst strife and disaster. The presence of Christ in a difficult situation, in a painful moment. That's what we're all called to do and be. That's what we're all called to proclaim. We are all called to be wise guys. We tend to come as shepherds, but we shepherds can be wise guys too. We shepherds can be wise gals and guys too, proclaiming the greatest wisdom the world will ever hear, that we are not alone, that we live in God's world, that we are called to be God's messengers of the good news to all, without restriction. Yes, to those who are hungry and thirsty and afraid. Yes, even to those who burden themselves trying to blow up an airplane. We are called to proclaim the good news of the love of God, the forgiveness of God, the presence of God for all. That's the essence of the message the wise guys received and then proclaimed. And it's the message we are called to proclaim throughout 2010. We have 51 Sundays ahead of us. And 300, is this a leap year? No, it's not. 362 days to go. Last Sunday, we proclaimed we made it through 2009. Today, we are at the beginning of 2010. And by the way, let's get this out of the way ahead of time. It's 2010, not 2010. That's a mouthful. It's 2010. It's easier that way. We have the whole year of 2010 ahead of us. When we get to the end of it on the last Sunday of 2010, we'll look back and we'll say, wow, we made it. We didn't think we were going to make it. We thought there were times throughout the year that we weren't going to make it, but wow, shazam, we made it through 2010. Well, Greg, what if we die in 2010? Then you really made it through 2010. Wow, what? There's nothing more to worry about. Well, we're looking forward now with 51 Sundays left to go. And all the days in between. And I want to encourage us as a family of faith to look forward and to speak with words of faith, a statement cast into the past tense, and say, we made it through 2010. Say that with me. We made it through 2010. We got 51 Sundays left to go. We got an awful long time. You think we can? I think we can. But we only can with Jesus in our midst. With Jesus on our lips, with Jesus in our hands, with Jesus in our feet, with Jesus in our hearts, we can make it through 2010. We will make it through 2010. We will have made it through 2010. That is what we're called to do and be. A wise people, wise in the things of God, proclaiming the good news that God takes us through today, tomorrow, and every day. Say it with me again. We made it through 2010.
We made it through 2010.
It don't sound like you believe it. We made it through 2010. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2010 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.